Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God with which he uplifts and strengthens us this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered around him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather only grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any further." And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why do you make this commotion and this weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Then he took the child by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha kume," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. So far our text. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Things aren't always as they seem, are they? In fact, things are probably rarely as they seem. The boy who pulls on the girl's ponytail and the girl thinks that the boy hates her. That's not what's going on, is it? Or the other way around, the girl tells the boy that he's a pig, and it seems to the boy as if the girl hates him. We might be a little older, but we're not really much better at properly discerning the truth of what's really going on. We have a certain view of our life and things, and we think we know what it's really like, but usually we're wrong. Jesus has a greater view, and Jesus knows what he's doing. And Jesus has his own reason for doing things, but we usually judge him based on what it seems to us, rather than trusting him, which is really the heart of this gospel account here. Now we learn to trust that Jesus knows what he's doing and is going to take care of us, no matter what it may seem like to us. No matter what it may seem like to us, Jesus is present with us to help and to heal. In our text, it seems as if Jesus is too busy to listen. Right away at the beginning, a great multitude gathered around him so that the man, Jairus, who desperately needed his attention, felt that he had to fall on his feet. He had to cry out. He had to go the extra mile to get Jesus' attention. Otherwise, why would Jesus pay attention or listen to him? And so often when we pray, when we come to Jesus, we think, well, Jesus isn't listening. And so we have a tendency to think we need to pray harder. We need more repetition. Maybe if we go to the church, maybe if we kneel, do something extra to get his attention. Compare the attitude in the prayer of Jairus with that of the woman a little further on in our text. Jairus falls on his feet. Jairus cries out, trying to get Jesus' attention. But the woman is afraid even to talk to him. Merely comes up behind him, merely touches his garment. That's the extent of her prayer. Very timid, almost nothing. You know, which one does Jesus answer? He answers both, doesn't he? He immediately comes with Jairus. He immediately heals the woman. It's not the loudness of our prayer or forcing ourselves to feel more sincere or any of these other superficial things that causes Jesus to listen. The thing that causes Jesus to listen is the need of his people. And that's not to mean that the greater our need, the more likely he is to listen. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when we need him, he's there. He's listening. No matter how small or insignificant our need may be, he's always present to help. I know for myself, when Kaylee cries, when Kaylee needs me, I usually drop everything and go, even if it's 11:45 at night and Saturday night and I'm trying to get my sermon done for the next day. And Kaylee asks for my attention, I go. And so often, and always, not just often, but always, what Jesus does for us. It often doesn't look to us like Jesus is listening to our prayers, but the reality is that Jesus comes immediately whenever we ask. Continuing on in our text, it may seem as if we are not worthy of Jesus' attention. But he's there to heal anyway. Verse 27, when she, the woman, heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I may be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed in her affliction. Here we see another difference between the woman and Jairus. Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue. Jairus is a rich, wealthy, prosperous man. He comes to Jesus boldly. He pushes his way through the crowd. He demands his attention. The woman is very timid. Doesn't think she's even worthy of talking to Jesus. Very much afraid to approach him. Which one is a better description of you in your prayers? Thinking, Jesus owes me. You better listen up, God. Think of all the things I've done for you. Or, why would Jesus listen to me? Probably we've been in both places at different times in our life. I know there's certainly been times in my life when I've been afraid. Like, how can Jesus listen to my prayers? Why would he listen to my prayers considering what I just did or thought or said? The fact of the matter is that Jesus doesn't allow our sin to separate us from him. Are we worthy to come before him? There's no question there. We are not. We don't have to wonder about that, whether we're worried or not. That problem is clearly answered in Scripture. We are not worthy. We are not worth his time. But it doesn't matter to Jesus. He solved that problem for us when he died on the cross, when he washed away our sins, and now he tells us, encourages us strongly to come to him and not be afraid even though we are unworthy. And notice how he deals with the woman in our text. She comes timid. She doesn't want to talk to him. She just touches his garment. And Jesus heals her immediately with that prayer of touching his garment. Jesus heals her immediately, but then he turns around, he calls her out. Who touched my garment? He didn't do that because he needed to know who it was. He did that to encourage her in her faith, to let her know she doesn't need to be timid, that she can always come boldly before him. He didn't want her going away afraid that Jesus didn't know who she was, that Jesus didn't even notice that he had healed her. He wanted her to know that, I know you, and I healed you, and I'm there for you. It may seem as if we are unworthy, and actually, this time we're right, if it seems to us we're unworthy, but that doesn't matter. We are unworthy, but Christ makes it clear that we are welcome anyway. It may seem as if Jesus is really slow to answer our prayers. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, it's from what TV show is that from? I hear that expression. It must be from a really old one. I don't even know. But anyway, meanwhile, while all this is going on with the woman, Jairus is standing there the whole time, and if he wasn't bald before this point, I'm sure he is afterwards. I'm sure he's just pulling out his hair. Why are you wasting your time with this woman? My daughter is about to die. Why aren't you answering my prayer? Come on. And I can certainly sympathize with Jairus. Certainly been times when I've almost been angry with God. Why aren't you answering my prayer? I remember I didn't get married till I was 32. 10, 12 years longer than most of my friends. And many times in there when I thought, why won't you give me a wife, Lord? I could really use a partner. I'm sure there are many times in your life as well you felt like it's ready to pull out your hair. Why isn't the Lord answering my prayer? But the Lord has his own timetable, doesn't he? And he knows what's best, and he knows what's going on. He has everything under control. That's what he tells Jairus, doesn't he? He says, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Only believe. Now, some people may read that response of Jesus, and they may insert an if there. Don't be afraid if you believe. As if Jairus' faith is going to affect the outcome. Jesus doesn't need Jairus' faith to perform the miracle. Jesus knows what he's going to do. He's going to go and heal his daughter. Whether Jairus believes or not has no effect on that outcome. There's no if there, if you believe. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I know what's going to happen. I've got it under control. Therefore, just trust me. You don't have to worry. Our gospel reading, our sermon text last Sunday, although you didn't actually have it as a sermon because I was gone, the Jesus just sleeping in the boat, even in the midst of a storm, even in a boat in the sea being cast and thrown about by waves, Jesus just goes to sleep because he knows his Father has got it under control. It's nothing to worry about. That's what Jesus is telling us here. It may seem to you like I'm being slow to answer, but I'm not in a hurry because I've got it under control. Just trust me. It often seems like Jesus isn't listening, but he's got it all under control. If we just learn to trust him, we can sleep at night, no matter what's going on around us, confident in our loving shepherd. Continuing in verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the teacher any further? Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Sometimes it even seems to us like Jesus failed. And he didn't listen. He didn't answer. And now it's too late. Jairus, the people at the house, Jairus' servant, even the apostles, they all thought the same thing. The girl is dead. It's too late. Don't even bother going. There's nothing you can do anymore. But Jesus knows better, doesn't he? She is not dead, but only sleeping. And the people laugh at him because the people know very well that she is most definitely dead. But Jesus' statement here isn't denying that the girl is physically dead. He knows full well that, yes, she's physically dead. Jesus' denial is that that makes any difference to him. Dead or alive, sick or gone, it doesn't matter. He can heal her and take care of her the same. Death is nothing to Jesus. Merely a doorway to something better. It's unimportant. Everyone else thinks death is the end. That's it. All hope is gone. Jesus says, psh, that's not a problem for me. Many times we pray for healing and the person dies or doesn't get better. And we think Jesus didn't listen. But actually, Jesus was listening, wasn't he? To take them home is to heal them in a way that they could never be healed while they're on this earth. In this case, however, he did heal, even death. And look at his great love for the daughter and for Jairus. He brings her back to life from death because Jairus asked out of love for the father. And to ease his sorrow, he brings the girl back from death. But he also does many other things. He makes everyone leave the room. And he doesn't let anyone follow him except for the three apostles. That also was done out of love. Because Jesus knows that she needs quiet. She needs calm. Right? A good doctor doesn't allow a large crowd into the hospital room. This girl was sick. She was dying. She needed peace. Jesus doesn't do this miracle as an opportunity to show off how great he is. He does it out of love, removing the people. And for the same reason, he says that no one should tell anyone. Now, they don't listen to him. But you can imagine, as soon as you start telling people this girl was dead and Jesus brought her back to life, you can imagine the crowds that are going to press in. Everyone wants to see her, right? The girl who was dead and came back to life. And Jesus would spare her that. Let her be at peace. He even, with his last words for our text, makes sure that she is given something to eat. In this case, Jesus heals. And other times, he takes people home to heaven. But whether he gives life or death, the one thing that we can be certain of at all times is that he is with us, that he is our good shepherd who watches over us and takes care of us in all things. Even though it seems as if Jesus' healing may have failed, that's not the truth. From our angle, it often looks as if Jesus is not listening, is not hurrying, has failed to be there when we need him and when we want him. But that is never true. No matter what it seems, he is always at our side. Amen. Passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.